Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got game four tonight. That's what tomorrow is going to be about. Or we're going to be sitting here saying, well, you know, the Knicks went to Indiana and took two, and now we got game five back at the Garden and series on. Or we're going to be sitting here going, man, how can they win three in a row to beat the Pacers and go to the NBA Finals and most likely face the Oklahoma City Thunder? So we joke around how every game is the biggest game the Knicks have played in 25 years. Jesus. Every game, everybody
it
brings it up.
Ends, man.
Biggest game they played in 25 years. Well, here we go again. This is
remember,
now the next
all
biggest
the celebration
game.
About a week ago?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
The streets were flooded. Then you lose two at home, and then all of a sudden everybody thinks the series is over. Even Charles Barkley says it's over at halftime. I mean, come on, Charles. You got to know better than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and quite frankly, now all of a sudden I think the entire momentum has changed. I really do.
Yeah. Oh, from the Knicks winning last night. Especially, I mean, two nights ago.
Yeah, because, you know, if Nesmith is not playing.
Yeah, I know.
That's another break for the Knicks.
And well, he's not going to be totally healthy. Even if he plays, he's going to be compromised.
Right. And, you know, I don't think he's not going to do what he did in game one. That's for sure.
No. No, he is not. I mean, and you know, it's funny because, like, Halliburton's been good, and he had that shot, that lucky shot in game one. But he has, like, the team has been carried twice offensively by guys other than Tyrese Halliburton, you know? I mean, Siakam.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay. Well, you don't need to say anything. He's in the freezer.
Yes.
But that stupid lucky shot in game one, God. You know, and I was so confident they were going to come back and win game two that I was like, I don't even care about game one and blowing the lead. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. They're going to be up two games to one. They might even be up three games to one. They're going to be okay. But then after losing game two, I was like, oh, God, does that suck? And went through everything in game one, looking at it through a different lens.
But that's the story arc of a playoff series.
It is. The peaks and valleys, Boomer. The peaks and valleys. Let's go to Mike, who's in Jackson, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to, I was at the show on Friday. Amazing, great time. My buddy and I have gone every year, ever since it started, when it was at DJ's Inside. You guys had the Gin Blossoms as a house band that first year. But we really haven't missed a year. We got there. This year was extra special because I got to bring my son, who just turned 21. He has autism. He's nonverbal. I said, come on, you're coming to hang out with the guys. Crowds kind of get to him. So he had his earphones on, you know, muffling the noise. But everybody was so nice. We were there all morning around 10 o'clock. The gentleman who was running the VIP suite, I don't know who he was, but he came down and he gave us passes to go up there, my son, my friend, and myself. And it was amazing. And, yeah, I'm the one that caught the boomer ball. So I just wanted you to know I don't work for you guys. I wasn't a VIP.
Oh, okay.
He heard me say VIP, this, that, and the other thing. And here he is, just a dad bringing his autistic kid to our show.
That makes me feel so much better about that whole thing.
Yeah, I feel so much better about it. Yes, 100%.
Go ahead.
It was just a perfect day. He had so much fun. I didn't get to see it, but my friend recorded it, and he sent me the video. And, you know, I couldn't hear you guys saying, does he VIP? Does he work for us? I couldn't hear that up there because everybody was booing. And if you see the video, you see my son just jumping up and down. He was so excited and everything. And he's got the ball in his room on display. And the funniest thing of the whole day for me is the Yuengling girls, the promotional girls walking around. They gave him a pair of sunglasses, and he must have really liked the girl that gave it to him because they have been on his head for 72 hours.
So we're actually playing the video back right now, yes. CBS Sports Network. And yeah, I see you catch it. I see your son sitting there. That is awesome. Because from my perspective, I saw, you know, go up there and I saw a bunch of other sales guys. And quite honestly, there's some people that work in sales that I don't see a lot. So I thought maybe it was someone like that. But now hearing that story was perfect. That needed to happen. That was like serendipity.
The gentleman that brought us, that came down, I mean, so nice. We were so appreciative. We had such a great time. And I just want to thank you guys, Al, the gentleman that did it. I don't know who he was, but it was just amazing day.
Awesome, man. Thanks for checking in, Mike, and I hope to see you back there next year. So fans of this thing are, they really are unbelievable. They're just, they're so kind. They're so passionate about the show. Signing babies, signing pregnant bellies.
You know, let me ask you a question. You know, nothing about the throw. I mean, I just whistled it across the entire parking lot.
Well, that's what I come to expect. I mean, if it was a bad throw, then I'd be like, oh, that was, but this is what, you should be happy that no one's talking about it because that's what everybody's come to expect.
Right. I don't throw footballs anymore for a living, you know?
Yeah. Well, but you did for a long time and you're still in great shape and. I mean, what, like...
Look at that thing whistle.
Yeah, if I were you, I'd be pretty proud of that, too. I would. But I just expected it to be perfect. Like, it always... Like, you step up in those... When you're throwing the game balls out of the charity events for the people who have done great things for the foundation, you're whistling those things, too, most of the time.
That's true.
And they're looking good. So I'm just assuming that you're going to do that every time.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks.
It's a compliment.
I mean, I think you're just taking it for granted, though. That's all.
Maybe. Could be. Let's go to John in St. Louis. What's going on, John?
Hey, good morning, guys. So about this furry thing, I want to know where Citi Field's drawn the line. Years ago, during R.A. Dickey's Cy Young season, me and my buddy from high school, we painted our chest. I was R, he was A. Dude, they stopped us at the Jackie Robinson Rotunda like we were the Taliban trying to board a plane. And then they followed us to the Shea Bridge. We had standing room only seats. And they put a security guard with us the whole damn game, making sure we didn't take our shirts off to show R.A. on our chest. And I should have just dressed like a sex fiend, I guess.
Well, it sounds like I haven't let this go, John. You know, someone didn't have Dickie on their chest, or someone didn't have
I had an R.
Yeah.
My buddy had an A, and our other buddy was wearing like a jersey T-shirt that said Dickie, and we stood where it said R.A. Dickie.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You would have thought I was wearing F the Wilpot.
Yeah, you know what? That's ridiculous, John. And obviously, it's new ownership now, so I'm sure they would let you in if you were doing something else to paying homage to another pitcher. But that's insane. Yeah, you should have dressed up like a furry. Could have gotten in back in the day. Think about that. R.A. Dickie fans. I mean,
Win the Cy Young, man.
Yeah, I know. No, of course. He was great there for a while. He was like their most popular player. Like, what was it, like 2013, somewhere around there? The guy was unbelievable. Richie in Connecticut. What's going on, Richie?
Hey, good morning, guys. So back before the last break, Eddie seemed to know a lot about the horse motif. I was wondering if that's something he's learned about at these yarn conventions he goes to.
Well, Eddie conveniently, after dropping all the horse motif info, has now left the control room. So I don't know exactly where he is, but I was thinking about it, too. Like, he's kind of like the way he's got his hair. It's almost like a mane. Like, I don't know what's going on there, but he was going all in with horse motif details.
And then, you know, they ride the horse and could be potentially bareback or whipped or bridled or, you know, one person
led around.
Is led around, that's right. One person's led around. So one person's the trainer and the other's the horse. It's the motif that they have.
Yeah. So, Eddie, a caller called up and asked, did you learn about the horse motif at any one of your yarn conventions?
What happens at yarn conventions stays at yarn conventions.
That sounds like something that would go on there, though.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, of course, at a yarn convention.
Yeah, I could see it.
I mean, listen, everybody has their thing, and that's what these furries have decided to be their thing. And I knew nothing about it when I was in Pittsburgh. And then when I saw them all around, I was like asking people, like, did you see all these people in costumes running around downtown? I'm like, yeah, they're here every year. It's called AnthroCon is what it's called.
Okay.
And they're there every single year. And they Pittsburgh is very open and kind to them. And they come in there and they do what they got to do in the hotels. And then they leave. Just like that. And then I remember talking about it on the air out there and then having questions. And the head of AnthroCon called up and explained some of the things and educated me a little bit about it.
But it is a big convention.
It's huge.
And they sit down and they listen to somebody talk about what?
You know, how to go about being a proper furry, you know, things like that. How to deal with your fetish.
Like, you've been to, like, Fanatics Fest.
Sure.
Convention. sit down, listen to athletes talk about athlete things.
Yeah, of course.
So when you go to one of these furry conventions, this is who are the featured speakers?
Well,
do you even see?
Here we go. I got this for you. Events and panels.
Okay.
They have.
Are they in costume when they're on the panel? Or
yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
you think so, right?
Yep. And Solsa says for 18 plus panels, they got 18 plus panels for those other things. Yeah, I mean, so Anthrocon, it's the summer of 2025. So yeah, there's still registration, venue,
go?
Events.
You want to go?
No. I mean, I told you I was there in Pittsburgh for many, many years that it was there, and you'd see them all around. Parade and block party, nightly dances. They got nightly dances. They got fursuit dance competition. They have a river cruise that they take.
Do you think anybody is famous that goes to these?
Oh, I would think there's definitely like a small level of fame. Someone who's popping in there, without a doubt. Yeah, there they are. They take a river cruise. They dress up as furries and board the Gateway Clipper and go on the Monongahela. These folks. So yeah, they have a great time, man. I'm telling you. Floor wars where they dance in their furry costumes. That I'm telling you, it's like a lot of wolves.
It'd be hot.
It's a lot of wolves.
I mean, when I mean hot, I mean temperature hot.
Yeah, not like sexy hot.
No.
Yeah. Hotels for Anthrocon. Let's see where they're going to go this year. They have, let's see, registration page. You got to look at this. You got to register in like February to get in on this thing. That's how many people are going. Oh, the AC Hotel in downtown.
So by the
Pittsburgh.
Way, just so you know, the most popular furry characters ranked, number one is the fox. Number two is the wolf.
Okay.
Number three, a dog, any breed. And number four, a dragon.
And the reason we're talking about this is there were furries at the Met game yesterday. We're not just on furries for any particular reason.
No.
That was our entry point into this discussion. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of hotels that are accepting furries this year. There's like seven or eight of them.
They want to make money. Why wouldn't you?
Wow, the Hotel Monaco is accepting the furries this year? Omni William Penn, get out of here. The Renaissance, that's where I got married. They got, I guess everybody's got letting the furries in.
Well,
I thought
why
it was just
wouldn't
a,
you?
Well, because they have litter boxes. Some of them, that's why. Needs that.
But not every hotel, I'm sure, that like if you need a litter box, go to another hotel.
Oh, okay, yeah, like we're litter box friendly or we're not.
Right.
Yeah, I got you. Eric in Greenwich, what's going on, Eric?
How you doing? Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
My son had a huge scholarship to go to RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology, this year.
Yeah.
We went up there for a college visit. My son saw eight furries, and he just walked away. We chose not to go.
But the furries were the furries going to RIT, or were they just around town?
Yeah, the furries were at RIT. They were just walking around, and I overheard one of them. This is so funny. They wanted to go hang out with the mascot, which is Richie the Tiger at RIT. And security came out from nowhere, said, guys, not today, and just escorted them out. And we were in shock. I mean, I could not believe that these people were dressed up, these kids were dressed up as animals.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's my son who's so interested in his college. The college would only cost him $15,000 a year because of all the merit scholarship. And he goes, I'm not coming here.
Man, that's tough for you. Because $15,000 a year sounds pretty good. I mean, how much more are you paying now because of the furries?
Well, thanks to him, we're going to Syracuse, and Syracuse is at $91,000 this year.
Eric.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Get that kid a furry costume and get him back up in there.
You sure you don't want to be a fox, son? Wow. 91,000?
15 to 91. Wow. I'm not surprised. Are you?
I guess I'm not. 91,000
for Syracuse?
I'm assuming that's room and board, the whole thing.
Let's go to Sean and Beacon. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, Boomer and Geo. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? My wife is a school teacher, and she teaches middle school. She has a student, seventh grade, that is a furry. This kid needs a litter box in the classroom, or not in the classroom, but they have to give the kid a litter box. I guess it was a whole big thing. Parents threatened to sue if the school didn't comply, and I just think it's crazy what the world's becoming.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I heard this story somewhere or some version of it, whether it was this student or another one where they actually... the look that you just gave when you turned to your computer said it all. I guess the people who were on the side of the furry won, and they had to provide this child who believed that they were a dog or a fox or something, a cat, a place to go that was not a regular toilet because they didn't believe that they were a human. So, just putting it out there. You know, he brought it up, the caller, just trying to add a little context to it, and then we'll leave it at that. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Good?
Sounds good to me, yes.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is back with us. He's got another update. What's happening, Jerry?
Well, good morning. Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Getting back to the games for a few minutes. You do have the Knicks and the Pacers tonight. Game 4 at Indiana. Aaron Naismith questionable with the ankle injury. Here was Tom Thibodeau. He spoke to the media yesterday in a conference call over Zoom, talking about just all games presenting challenges. They've certainly seen enough of them through the postseason so far.
Each day you're going to be tested in a different way. And if you love competition, this is the best for competition. So, you know, we're fortunate. We have a great group of guys. And we work as hard as we can each and every day. Sometimes we fall short, and the next day come back with more determination to fix it and get better.
We'll see if they can even things up tonight. Remember a couple of hours ago, I played the clip of Jalen Brunson talking about how it would be important for Tibbs to get to the NBA Finals for the first time. But he also made it very clear as he continued, next game.
I know he's not thinking about that. I know he's not thinking about what it would mean to him. He's just thinking about what can we do to better in game 4.
And get the series even. Here was Brunson. Yeah, things get out of whack sometimes, but we do handle things well when we're down a lot.
I think as a team, we got punched in the mouth early, and then we found a way to respond and stuff together. And so sometimes going through that stuff makes us better.
And the game 3, right there as an example, when they were down by 20 and then 13. Big part of their win was Karl Anthony Towns in the fourth quarter. What did you see from Towns in that spot?
I mean, I saw the same thing you guys saw. I saw a guy go out there who did not want to lose.
And that's the guy that you want to see consistently.
Yeah, I mean, I was so happy to see that. The only issue is I don't think it's going to happen again. is he going to be that good again in crunch time to help them win a game? I have a lot more faith in Jalen Brunson carrying them through to the next round than I do Towns, and this is maybe Towns' moment, but show it to me again. I mean, because this is what he'll do. He'll have this massive performance, the best I've ever seen him play in a Knicks uniform, and then he'll have 3 fouls in the first quarter flailing around playing lazy ass basketball like he normally does.
But we said before this particular series started that the Pacers are going to try to make it like a track meet, and they have tried to do that. Mm-hmm. We also said that Karl Anthony Towns would have a much better opportunity to be more impactful in this series than the previous series because of the way that Detroit was beating up on him.
Yep.
And so I think we've seen that he can be effective in this series, whether it be from 3 points or from close in by the basket, because nobody can stop him.
Exactly.
He's too big.
to me, this has the makings of a Patrick Ewing game. Just keep feeding the guy in the post and let him just go to the basket.
Thank you, Jerry.
Here was Pascal Siakam. Says, yeah, he was off the charts.
He went on a run. We weren't able to shut that off. So we got to get better at that. And, he made some big plays at the end for them and weren't able to get stops when we needed them.
No, they didn't. So game four will be tonight after 8 p.m. We will see if the Knicks can even things up before coming back home for a game five. And you've got the watch party that Mercadante is going to be at. Get you the Larry Johnson ball or the information on the Larry Johnson ball.
I'm going to say he doesn't have it, LJ, that it's in the hands of someone it shouldn't be, unfortunately.
How do you authenticate that, though?
Now that someone else has the ball?
Yeah. Now you can't.
You that's can't, right?
Now. Yeah.
And I'm not saying you guys. I'm saying the guy that's got the ball. Yeah. Okay. Well, I could sign, I think, Larry Johnson, too.
It's true. You're right.
So
now it's the whole thing is just over because of Wally Szczerbiak.
Well, it's plans for and Szczerbiak.
Right. But Wally's the bigger name, so it comes back to Wally.
Wally. Yeah, because Wally was so, entrenched in going to play golf somewhere.
And he claims he never knew it was the actual ball.
Yeah, like we just want Larry Johnson to sign a ball, and this is the ball.
And it looks, in seeing the pictures of it, too, like it said official game ball, and it looked old.
I could have went to Dick's Sporting Goods and bought a ball and handed it to Wally and said, go have Larry Johnson sign this. Why? Correct. I don't know, because it's Larry Johnson.
You're right.
It's so stupid.
He blew it. He blew it. Anyhow, that is tonight. Last night, you had the Thunder beat the T-Wolves for a commanding 3-1 series lead.
Steps away, kicks the homer. This is 4-3 straight away. Chet left it short. Wallace the long rebound. Down lane, Chet to the rim. Sends it down with two hands. A raucous assault of the rim by Holmgren, who has 21 and counting. 9 in the quarter, a 6 under push. Gives him a 9-point lead at 109.
And that was Thunder Radio. He did finish with those 21 points and 3 blocks. They win 128-126. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 49-10. Jalen Williams hit 6 threes. He added 34. Here was Gilgeous-Alexander winning on the road.
It's super fun. It's more fun than like it's I don't know about more fun, but it's like it's pretty up there with like being at home. It's the whole building's against you.
I thought he was going to say sex. I really did. He's like, how do I say this?
Yeah, but that's the point. This is why the Knicks are winning on the road. They're away from all these distractions here in New York. I told you before this whole thing started, get rid of the families, get rid of the stupid celebrities, get rid of all these people.
Had a couple big wins at home, though.
Right, but what about the big blowout win over the Celtics? They weren't distracted.
Yeah, the Celtics were hurt,
locked
beat
in.
Up.
Maybe, but boy, that's as good as I've seen them. Anyhow, we've heard from Chris Finch before. He's usually pretty direct. Here he was with his Minnesota team. Just need to be better.
You're not going
to
beat a team like this. If you're certainly turning it over 20-plus times and letting them have a bunch of second-chance opportunities. And we knew that. But, you know, this isn't the formula to get it done.
No, it's not. Also, the fact that you didn't get much from Julius Randle and Anthony Edwards wasn't his usual self. So they're up 3-1, are the Thunder on the T-Wolves. Baseball-wise, Yankees, Angels, last night in Los Angeles.
The pitch from Weaver. Swung on, popped up, playable. Right side, Devas going back. He's under it, calls everybody off. Makes the catch, and the Yankees win. Victory for the New York Yankees, a 5-1 final here in the opening game here in Anaheim against the Angels.
So they just keep rolling along. Dave Sims with the final out right here on the fan. They beat Los Angeles, to move 13 games over 500. So after losing to Colorado, they've bounced back now with 3 straight wins, 2 in Denver, and, of course, last night in Los Angeles. Here was Anthony Volpe. He had the big 3-run double. Why he thinks they keep winning.
I just think how everyone trusts each other, the confidence we have in each other. That's what you see here.
How about this one? We'll get back to the baseball. A show out of Australia named name of the show is called Ben Liam and Bell.
Okay.
They were looking for the shortest marriages in Australia on record. So they had, wives or brides call in. So a couple of them caught my ear as they were going through their show. The first one, what do you think the first first bride that had her marriage end? How fast?
I'm going to say 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Well, I don't know if you're doing this. It had to be something.
There, who's the first one?
I got married, and 16 days later, his mistress rocked up on my doorstep.
So that's kind of a problem. So 16 days, not great. Then the next caller, a little bit shorter.
10 days.
That's within the range. Okay, and what happened?
went on the honeymoon and got back and found out they were having an affair. He was having an affair with my sister-in-law.
Oh. In-law?
It's just brutal.
My sister-in-law is a whore?
So here's the third caller that beat. Now we're at 10 days, right? The third caller beats this one.
Can you beat 10 days? How long did it last?
Absolutely. About 48 hours.
48? Whoa. That is very, very tight. I mean, you're barely sort of out of the wedding venue by that point. And what happened within 2 days of tying the knot that, you know, blew the marriage up?
Well, we got married. He didn't turn up to the wedding reception. I went home and found out he was on the phone to his ex all night, and I left the next day.
Wow.
He didn't even show up at the wedding reception.
That's amazing.
Because he was on the phone with his ex-girlfriend. But then here comes your winner.
It wasn't even 24 hours.
Oh, God.
What happened?
How many hours are we talking?
We got married, had a beautiful wedding, and the reception, he was gone.
Oh, Kylie, like
he was gone.
Hang on, so, okay, let's walk through this. So you had the ceremony, then did you go and do, like, a photo shoot?
Yeah, we did all that.
Did the photos.
And then where did he disappear in that time span?
Absolutely disappeared, and I did not hear anything from him for months.
What a great idea. Oh, man. Oh. So, yeah, so 2 hours is the win. You said 10 minutes. That was extreme. Yeah, but they got someone that's, and it turned out it was, he was having an affair with her cousin.
Oh, God.
So.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like, why do you even bother getting married then?
I think that's exactly the question. There's just no, I mean, they're just afraid, I guess, to say something. And then finally, when they're there, like, oh, crap, this is actually happening. So I gotta get out of here.
Well,
2 hours. Sorry?
2 hours.
And a guy will have an affair with your cousin? We've been shtupping for a good 4 or 5 months now. And, goodbye.
Sean Marks getting divorced.
I was gonna say, you think that Sean Marks calls into that show? Talk about the nits.
Right. Well, maybe people care about them there than here.
I was married to a guy named Kyrie for a couple of years. And he left and went to Dallas, and he played with a real fat guy. And then I traded him away, and got a guy who was hurt. Did you get sent that picture of Luka Doncic, Boomer, that I got sent, that said, don't show this to Boomer? And it was Luka Doncic taking a picture at a restaurant and with a totally clean plate. Nothing left on the plate. And you could tell he had just eaten.
I probably did. I probably just didn't open it.
Please don't show this to Boomer.
Right.
Oh, man. All right, back to the baseball. So Mets beat the White Sox 2-1. Juan Soto had a sack fly in the eighth inning, and then Francisco Lindor, the game-winning sack fly in the ninth. Here was Carlos Mendoza on Lindor coming through, as he always seems like he does.
Well, the confidence, he knows he's good. His ability to slow the game down is never, the moment's never too big for him. And he's aggressive, you know, with good pitches to hit. He's got conviction.
Yep, swung at the first pitch and drove that ball to right field with the winning run on third. Tyrone Taylor doubled and scored. Never doubted.
Yeah, I think we're confident throughout the game, no matter what inning it is. We trust our guys. Yeah, I think we're confident.
Yeah, and so the Mets, after that wacky loss to the Dodgers Friday, they've won three in a row, beat Los Angeles on Saturday, Sunday, and now Chicago on Monday afternoon. They will play the White Sox again tonight on 880 AM Mets Odyssey Radio at 710. Tyler McGill will make the start for the Mets, who are 33-21, game and a half behind first place Philadelphia in the NL East. And I play this for a reason, the Blue Jays and Rangers.
The 0-1 offering. Hit well, out to deep right field, hooking toward the pole, it's gone! First inning blast for Dalton Varsho. Caught a slider over the middle, and his eighth of the year makes it 1-0 Toronto.
And that was Blue Jays radio hit off of Jacob DeGrom. Blue Jays beat the Rangers 2-1. DeGrom pitched into the sixth inning. First time in his career, zero strikeouts in a start. 229 starts.
Wow.
So that was the headline. Yeah, that was the headline there. He's had a good season so far, but did lose 2-1 yesterday. And the Hurricanes beat the Panthers 3-0. They avoid elimination. They avoid the sweep, and they get their first win in the conference final, stopping a 15-game losing streak there. But they do still trail 3-1. And tonight you got game 4 for the Oilers and Stars. Edmonton up 2-1 in that series.
All right, Jerry, thank you. There is a call here I'd like to get to before the break so it doesn't drop off. This is Joe in the Bronx. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome, Joe. What can we do for you?
So I was wondering, do you guys think secretly Phil Sims dresses as a fox furry?
I do it.
Perfect. Boomer and Geo coming alive for the Bill Ford Tough Studio.
Oh, yes.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's fun to meet Chris Lane on Friday. I stuck around a little bit for the show, and he was really, really good. Played his hits early on in the set, which I thought was great. Played at least two of them early on. Didn't make everybody wait. He's like, even Stephen Waldron, who prayers to Stephen, by the way, with his appendectomy, goes, oh, man, he's playing some of his good songs really, really early. This is awesome. He's popping around. I said, get away from me, will you?
Prayers to Stephen is right.
Prayers to Stephen Waldron. But yeah, he was awesome. The crowd stuck around. It was great. It ended up working out. So that was the first time that we did that on Kickoff to Summer, to have our show and then, of course, a country music artist or a music artist to play afterwards like that. And I thought it worked out tremendously.
Yeah, normally we have the artist playing during our show.
Yeah, which would have been nice if he would have done that. But we had the DJ.
We had it going.
It was going. But then he had the full, like, 45-minute set. You know, I went out, I introduced him, too, as, you know, like, going up on the stage. And here he is, multi-platinum award-winning. You know, but it was weird because, like, I introduced him, and then, like, the band played for, like, 2 minutes, and he didn't come up. And I was like, oh, man, did I do that right? I thought, it told me I couldn't screw this up. But, no, it worked out. And, once again, just the weather wasn't great, but it didn't rain on us. It certainly was cold, but it was another successful, huge successful kickoff to summer, and because of the great fans and Mayor Bucafusco. Bucafusco. He's really the one that made it happen for us. Is Mayor Bucafusco, who opens up the doors to Belmar.
Yes,
for
he
us
does.
Every
yes.
single year to go there and have a great time. I mean, look at this. These people showing up right off the gate and everything else. So it was tremendous. A memorable one for sure. And then, there's our guy, Larry in Indiana. There's, of course, Tracy in Atlantic Highlands. Us signing Nick Galanti's cardboard cutout. We had all sorts of celebrities there. The shotgun kid who came up and kissed us again.
Yes.
This guy who got screwed because he was going against the...
Amanda.
Madison, I believe her name was.
Oh, Madison. That's yeah. right. Madison.
That guy held that sign. I had to bring him up there at the end. So the shotgun kid who NGXB, who was awesome, he really stole the show. Some of his videos is just incredible. That guy, the kissing shotgun kid, he held that sign for 4 straight hours. And then I had to get him up there. He came prepared. I had to get him up there to the end of the show. There's your throw again, huh?
Yeah.
How about that? And here he goes. Yeah, one more kiss. Oof. Yeah, this guy. I mean, but he means well.
He does.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He means well. And that there was one guy who just totally choked under the pressure with Jerry's questions. Like he couldn't remember the name of the Dodgers, like legitimately, or the Miami Dolphins. He just completely choked. And I saw him afterwards. He's like, man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, don't be sorry. Who cares?
It's fine. But, you know, he got nervous.
I know.
He got nervous. He was on TV. He had people looking at him.
I know. And that's the worst.
You're on TV. You're not used to it.
People looking at you, you know?
You're not used to it, man.
You're definitely not used to it. Do you, like, what? At what point in your career did you not feel nervousness when you started playing? Like, did it take? Like years, or did you always feel nervous?
No, I think there's always butterflies before every game, for sure.
Yeah.
Because you're not, you know, you think you have the right game plan, but you're not sure how it's going to play out. Like Jalen Brunson was talking about, every game is different. Every situation is different. And how you react in those situations ultimately defines you, and that's why he's Captain Clutch.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a hell of a lot to be that good in those moments.
So but think about this. So he essentially gets sat because of, you know, foul trouble and because the Knicks are doing well without him on the court. And Thibodeau's trying to read the game, and he's trying to read the situation, and he read it right. But then he puts him back in the game. And then when you need a bucket to go up 198, who gets the bucket?
Him.
He does. When you need two free throws at the end of the game, who gets the two free throws?
Well, him and Josh Hart.
Yeah, they both did. Well, Josh got four of them. And Jalen got two. So that's that. Those are your money players, and those money players showed up big at the end of that game.
Yeah.
And by the way, those are the same players that could have easily bitched and complained about being taken out of a game or not starting a game, and they didn't bitch. And that's the unselfishness of this particular group of players. They all seem to really like each other. Yeah, they may chirp at each other a little bit on the bench, as we saw in game one. But, you know, they like each other. It's been a long season. It's been a season in which, you know, there has been the ups and the downs, the inconsistencies. But the one thing that has been really consistent is that, number one, they've been pretty much healthy. And number two, they really do like each other. So that's, and I can appreciate that more than anything. And they're one of the four best teams left in the NBA.
I mean, there has been very little drama with this group. I mean, the only time I can ever think is a little bit of the bench thing with Bridges and Towns there early on. Or was it the Celtics series? It was game one, which was
two new guys,
right? I mean, okay, fine, you know, but that really didn't turn into much. And then the only other thing I could think about was back early on in the season when they went through a little bit of a down stretch, and Josh Hart said that he said we got to stop being so selfish and play more team basketball and stop thinking about ourselves above the team. I came out and said that, which is the most like poignant thing he had ever said. You know, because he normally just gives you like funny answers or whatever after a game. And that made me think that there's someone who's not getting back on defense. There's someone who's concerned about their stat line. I don't know who he was talking about. People assumed it was Towns, but I don't know.
You just pointed out one other really, really important thing, and that's getting back on defense. And that is something that Shamet and Wright did.
Yeah.
They were getting back on defense. There were not those breakaway, you know, easy layups or dunks by the Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something that's obviously key. We talked about a transition defense because they're running up and down the court, and that's what they do. But yeah, I mean, I've actually seen it too where there's guy, like Karl-Anthony Towns early on in the playoffs, he would go down to the ground and then bitch and moan and then, you know, go
and
into the official
phase.
And
not get back on defense.
But like, for example, right, but Tibbs has definitely talked to him about that because even if you see when he hits that big three and he falls backwards.
He gets right up
and he doesn't bitch to the officials. And I'm like that, you know, that's when he was locked in, you know, when you see him in that mode.
And to me, that is the coach. That's the coach telling these guys, look, we got to get back on defense. They are trying to run us out of the gym. So if they're going to be shooting these long shots and we're going to be shooting these long shots, there's going to be these long rebounds. They're releasing their guys.
Yeah.
So you got to get your ass back on defense. So that is something that I thought was very noticeable in game three.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I'll know right away. Everybody will who's watched these games. You'll know right away what you're getting from him early on. Are you going to get the, I can't believe I didn't get fouled? Are you going to get the lazy smacking of an opponent that gets him a foul? Or are you going to get the guy, give me the ball in the post and let me handle this? You know, that's the guy that I want. And I don't know if he's going to be able to duplicate it, you know, from the fourth quarter the other night. But I know that Jalen Brunson's going to show up. You're not going to have another Brunson game like you had, at least not tonight. You're not going to have that again.
Well, you know what? I just hope we see more guys playing. And playing defense and getting back on defense, that to me tells you that, you know, they're focused in on what the most important part of the game is, and that is getting back and not giving up easy buckets. I mean, that the thing that bothers me the most about sometimes when you're watching the Knicks early on in these games, and sometimes it happens early in the third quarter too, is where there are easy buckets to be had by the opposing team underneath the basket.
Yeah,
like they lose track of where somebody is. You know, the whole communication thing on defense. But it's really amazing when you watch these games that are uber competitive, how we talk about these things all season long. And, you know, in the middle of, I don't know, you know, game 52, it probably doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
But now it's so present in the front of everybody's mind.
Yeah, I mean, defending the three was something that we talked about all year long, but we're thinking like, oh, you know, in the playoffs, we'll see. They'll play more defense. You know, you're not going to see the same type of basketball, whatever. And, I mean, that's really, that's hurt them more than anything in the postseason. But, I mean, it has been a battle. It's been every series has been completely different, too.
Yes, exactly.
Completely different.
But that's what makes it so great.
Yeah. No, of course. I mean, it's
like Thibodeau said, if you're competitive and you love to be competitive, then this is the best time of year, especially for them because they've gotten this far.
Yeah, I mean, and this is some of the most fun that, I mean, the city has had watching a team get their resurgence. That first time back is always more fun than ever because it's just like every memory that you have and the nostalgia and everything else. So tie up that series, man. The Garden's going to be something else on Thursday night.